I want to talk to you about faith to possess the promised land. And now our promised land, of course, is our salvation, living for God, and what the Word of God says belongs to us. You know, you can either choose to go with the flow, or you can choose to use your faith and possess the promises of God. You know, some people just float along. Whatever will be, will be. Well, not if you know how to believe God. Whatever will be, don't have to be. You can change the situation if you know how to believe God. And God responds to his people that believe his word when they act in faith. You know, as a kid growing up with Dad, I mean, we faced a lot of difficult situations. Some of them seemingly impossible. And he would just say, well, we're just going to trust God because the word says. The word, every time that you would say something to him, he would say, the word says, and that's what we're going to believe, what the word says. It doesn't matter what we see. It doesn't matter how we feel. What does the Bible say? And so that's what we did. But that's the way you learn how to possess the land. You know, I grew up with that. So to me, it's almost just second nature to trust God. You know, you decide whether you're going to believe God's word and say what God says, or you decide that you're not going to receive. Do you realize that you can be born again, even filled with the Spirit, and you don't have to accept healing? You don't have to accept God's prosperity and all the things that he says belongs to us. You can go to heaven just as long as you're born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to heaven. Come on, don't look at me like I fell out of a tree. That's the truth. That's what the Bible says. See, you can doubt that it's possible to have it and do without. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to believe God's word and believe that it's possible and receive it. It's just that simple. Some people sometimes say to me, say, well, man, you're a little simplistic. Hey, the Bible is simple. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Period. It's just that simple, people. It's just that simple. You either believe God or you believe his word or you don't. Now, we go to Numbers chapter 13, and in Numbers chapter 13, you'll find that they had sent spies out, and they'd come back, and they'd given the report about the land, and Caleb, they got all upset. Caleb quieted the peace. He told the people, be quiet. He said, let us go up at once and take possession of it, for we're well able to overcome it. Now, here is Caleb and Joshua. They saw the same giants that the other 10 saw. They saw everything over there. But they believed what God said. Yes. See, I think you can count about 16 times up to that point that God had told them that he was going to bring them to the promised land, give them the land of Canaan. Now, you know, Caleb and Joshua, they saw the giants, but they weren't moved by what they saw. They weren't moved by the doubt and unbelief of the other 10 spies. They were not moved by the fact that they had to stay in the wilderness 40 years because of others' unbelief. See, the Israelites proved that you cannot receive the promises of God without faith. If you don't believe, you're not going to receive. Now, unfortunately, the Israelites chose to go with those 10 and doubted they could possess the land. Actually, they got mad at Moses. And if you read the first part of the next chapter, the 14th chapter, you'll find out that they talked about, well, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. you brought us out here, we're going to die in the wilderness and so forth and so on, and that's just the way it is. And they complained against Moses there and the whole congregation. And if only we had died in the land, if only we died in the wilderness, then they go on talk about everything. Now, I want you to notice that they got exactly what they said. Because then you go to 14, Numbers 14, and go to the 28th verse. And it says, and so God told Moses, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. You know, they said their carcasses is going to fall in the wilderness, so forth. He said, the carcasses that you have complained, you have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who were numbered according to the entire number from 20 years old and above, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun, that you shall by no means enter the land which I swore to make you dwell in. Now here, God had sworn to them, I will give you the land. Now they refuse to take it. They end up staying in the wilderness until all the men, 20 years old or older, had died off because of their unbelief. They never entered the promised land. In Hebrews 3:19, it says, so we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. You know, it was a sad moment when the Israelites had to go back into the wilderness because they wouldn't believe God and go into the promised land. You know, now it's interesting. Here is Caleb and Joshua that believed God, and yet through no fault of their own, they have to go into the wilderness for 40 years with these people that are unbelieving, and they had to suffer with the unbelievers in order to get into the promised land. Hey, they were the only ones of that older generation that made it to the promised land. That's true. And, you know, it says that there, if you read 36 and 37, it says that the other guys died off and so forth. But Joshua and Caleb remained alive. The only ones remained alive out of that old bunch. You know, this shows us that sometimes the unbelief can affect us and we'll have to go through some things, but we don't have to lose our faith because we're having to sit with the doubters and the pouters. You know, Joshua and Caleb, they just kept believing God. They kept talking about, hey, we're going to the promised land. Oh, you guys are not going, we're going. Y'all didn't want to go. We want to go. We believe what God said. Now, I just was thinking about it. Can you imagine these two guys having to live with those people for 40 years? In fact, if you read there after that and after Numbers 13:30 there, they wanted to stone them because they said, we can go do it. We can do it. Now they're having to live with those people. There's some of you may have to live with some people that were taking you down because of what you believe, because you believe in the Holy Spirit and you believe in faith and you believe in the things of God. You see, now Caleb had the spirit to possess the promised land. Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Here it says Caleb had a different spirit. Today we might say it this way, Caleb had a spirit of faith. He believed God, therefore he spoke according to the promises of God. We need to have that same spirit of faith and speak according to what the Bible says, the promises of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore speak. Now, The Johnson paraphrase on this says, we have the same attitude of faith. Attitude of faith. See, well, actually, Paul is quoting David here. So, Caleb demonstrated that spirit of faith. Caleb, David, Joshua, Paul, they had the spirit of faith. If they had it, we can too. If people in the Bible needed a spirit of faith, then we need a spirit of faith. An attitude of faith. An attitude that believes God's promises when everything else says otherwise. An attitude that we will always triumph in Christ Jesus. Paul said, we always triumph in Christ. And, you know, the spirit of faith, David, he went out to face the giant, and the giant was talking all kinds of trash to him. Just telling him what he was going to do and blah, 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 blah. David never said a word. But if you read the story there in Samuel, you'll find out that all the while that the giant was talking, David was walking toward him. He wasn't standing back. He wasn't cowering back. He was walking toward his enemy. See, when the devil starts coming at us with all kinds of stuff, we need to go forward, not retreat, not just stand and stand our ground. And so now when the giant got through, David said, I want you to notice the 10 spies said we can't take the land. They didn't. Joshua and Caleb said we can. They did. Mark 11:23 says, say unto the mountain, be cast in the sea, and doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He'll have whatever he says. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that with the mouth you confess your salvation and you believe in your heart. That's exactly what Mark 11:23 says. It said, believe in the heart and confess with the mouth. And Dave, when he was walking toward, here is a They say they think David was about 17 years old, according to all the, you know, things that we can read and all the people that put all these to go in there and study and put all the crunch, all these numbers and put everything together. They think he was about 17 at this time. And they think he was probably about 5'7", 5'8" tall. And here he is. And there is the guy in front of him that's over 9 feet tall. Big guy. Compared to 5'7". And he probably didn't weigh about 150 pounds or so, maybe. But he's going toward him. And he said, I come against you in the name of the Lord God Jehovah that you are defying this day. Now he's telling him what he's fixing to do to him. Here's this little kid. And this huge giant. See, that's the way some of your problems are sometimes. They're huge compared to you. But he said, I'm going to take your head off and feed your carcass and all the rest of these Philistines that are coming against God to the birds of the air. I want you to notice that he said, before he got there, he told him what he was going to do. Now he didn't try to interrupt the giant when he was talking back to him. He just kept walking because he believed God. I mean, you got to really believe God if you're gonna walk into the giant or walk into a hornet's nest. In other words, you got to really believe God. He had to really believe God. Can you imagine a 9 foot, some odd inch giant? And here you are, about 5'7". You know, well, that's probably is that a 8 foot door over there? Probably, I don't know. Let's see. We'll see. Yeah, it's. Yeah, that's about an 8 foot door, I guess. Now imagine 2 more feet higher than that, and then imagine. How tall are you, Patrick?
5'7", 150 pounds.
Come here. Stand here. All right. Here's 5'7". Now imagine 2 feet higher and right there, right, maybe up there, just underneath that gray board probably would be up there somewhere.
That's pretty tall.
That's the difference. And, you know, if you're that big, I mean, you look at some, hey, you go over to Stillwater or you go over here to Norman and you look at some of those guys that are just 6'7", about 300 pounds. They're big guys. Hello?
Yes.
You know, I used to think, I mean, I'm playing defensive back. I'm standing 6'2", weighing all of 145 pounds, soaking wet. And here comes a 200-pound running back. But I didn't back off. My teammates used to tell me, Hagin, you crazy. But I said, well, somebody got to tackle him. You're not. But here this guy is, that huge guy. But David believed what God said. He believed what God said. And he went out and made it happen. You see, you don't make it happen in your own strength. You make it happen in the strength of God. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. All things. He didn't say all spiritual things. He didn't say all. He said all things. That includes spiritual and natural. Now remember, some of you are not here, but I did the teaching a while back about the fact that we are spirit, but we're also natural. And we live in two worlds at the same time, the spirit world and the natural world. And the train runs on two tracks. And you run in two areas, the spiritual area and the natural area. You're either in the spiritual area with God or in the spiritual area with the enemy, with the devil. Come on. That's just it. But now here we are. So now I want you to notice that you have to possess the spirit of faith or the attitude of faith. The attitude always produces action. Either wrong action or right action, depending on the attitude you're displaying. Hello? Right attitude leads to right actions. Wrong attitude leads to wrong actions. You know, if somebody hits you wrong or fouls you in basketball or football, you can retaliate and get a penalty and cost your team. That's one attitude. The other attitude is, okay, so you want to play that way? I'll just play a lot harder. Now, that's the right attitude. That's the way it used to be me. A guy goes by, he catches a pass on me as he's walking back to the huddle. I tell him, I say, that's the last pass you catch in the day, bud. Because it just makes me play harder rather than hitting him and getting a penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct, for hitting him after he's on the ground. You know, I just make up my mind, okay, all right, bud, I'm going to play harder. See, that's what you need to do. The more the devil comes at you, the more the harder you come at him with the word of God. Come on.
Amen.
You know, you got to go out there and do it. Now, look at old Caleb. Here he is. Ooh, I'm running out of time. Is that all right if I go overtime tonight? I don't go overtime very often. And Craig's getting a whole lot better about it. He thought he was having to come tonight. And when I told him I was going, he said, oh, I get to take a nap this afternoon. He said, tell y'all hi, he'll be back. I've been gone enough. I told him I better come over here for a while. Because I'll be gone again pretty soon. Now, look at old Caleb. Here he is. He's 40 years older than he was when he went in to spy out the land. He said, He's 45. Now, he went to Joshua, said, "Here I am, 85 now." Hebrews 14:11. "Yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Therefore, give me the mountain which the Lord spoke to me in that day." And, the Anakin's there. That's the giants. He asked for the city and where the giants were. Yeah, Joshua 14:11, and then I'm reading on down. He asked Joshua, he said, "Joshua, give me that mountain over there where the giants are." And they had great cities. They were fortified. But he said, "I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said." As the Lord has said. See, there he is, the Lord, as the Lord has said. Right there, that last part. "I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said." As the Lord has said. See, he now is basing everything, his belief, on what God said. That's what we have to do. We have to base our belief right here on what God said. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Amen. Say it with me. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Period. There's not anything else to say after that statement. Boom. Put the mark there. See, Caleb wasn't afraid of the giants. He's 40 years older, but he's still not afraid of the giants. Because he knows what God can do. See, he was there when God gave them water, when they didn't have water. He was there when God gave them food and they didn't have food. He was there when God gave them victories over armies that were four times as big as their army was. He was there. See, he believed God, what God said. Now, if you notice, it said that he had another spirit. God said he had another spirit. He had the spirit of faith. Caleb was a man of faith. He was a person that believed what God said. And then he acted on what God said. And he possessed his land. You can too. It's up to you. You can possess. Because Paul said we have the same spirit of faith. We have the same spirit of faith that Caleb had. Caleb was another spirit. He was the spirit of faith. We can have that same spirit. You know, there, we have the same spirit of faith. That includes, Paul's including all of us that belong to God. All of God's children. We have the same spirit of faith. Now, whether you do anything with it or not is up to you. We all have bicep muscles. I don't care whether you're a woman or a man. Doesn't make any difference, male or female. We all got a bicep muscle. Now, what we do with it is up to us. Because there's some people that got bigger biceps than somebody else. That's because they work. See, now I'm not going into that direction. But Paul talked about the Thessalonians at the Thessalonica church. He said their faith grew exceedingly. And by the way, we opened a school in Thessalonica, got a Rhema school in Thessalonica, praise the Lord. But their faith grew exceedingly. Now, if you want your muscles to grow, what do you got to do? You got to do the things that are necessary. If you want the promises of God to work for you, you got to do the things that are necessary to get the word of God to work for you. And that's believe it and act like it's so and watch it happen. Anybody getting anything out of this tonight? The spirit of faith. Today, I believe it's time for all of us to take possession of our promised land. Now, your promised land is different from mine. Mine is different from yours. But the word of God will help us possess what God says we can have. You know, your situation is different than my situation. But all of us can overcome every situation that comes up in our lives. I mean, you know, I confess every day. I make certain confessions about the financial situation at Rhema. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because if I tell you how big it is, you're going to fall off a chair. But you got to remember that Rhema is a huge, huge operation. Hello. You know, some people, so I don't ever say, I just say, we just believe God. Now we do. We have to believe God every day. See, you go to work and you know how much money you're going to get every day, because you know how much they're going to pay you per hour and how many hours you work. You know, we have to agree and get the people that work for us to have to agree, because I never know how much money people are going to send in. I'm just believing God every day that people are going to listen to God and they're going to send the money in. I don't ever talk about it. It's the first time you ever heard me say anything about that. I don't ever say anything about it. I don't go around talking about it all the time. I just go around making the confession of faith. I confess it every day. You know, when I hear of bad weather, I start confessing protection for all the Rhema property. OKC Rhema. All the property over there, the ranch down there by Lake Eufaula, the Rhema Ranch. I start confessing, Father, all this property is protected by the power of God. You said in the word, blah, blah, blah. I talk to him, tell him what he said. And then I take authority over my property that I own, my personal property, my house, my cars. And then I have a right because I have a right. Because I'm the patriarch of the family to take some authority over my kids and my grandkids. And then I say, I agree with all of my church members for protection for their property too. I don't have authority to take that authority, but I have the authority to agree with you for protection. And you have the authority to agree with me for protection of this building where we meet for church. Hello, how many understand what I'm saying to you? Somebody says, oh, well, I don't know about that, talking about the weather. Hey, I remember back in about 59 or so, maybe 60, I don't know, somewhere in there. My dad and my brother-in-law, who's gone to heaven now, they were preaching for Brother B.B. Hankins down at West Columbia, Texas. And some of you may know Mark Hankins, who Mark Hankins is. Well, that's his dad. And so they're down there in a meeting, and they said, everybody started buttoning up everything, and they said, the hurricane's coming right in here on West Columbia. Daddy and Brother Hankins and Buddy got out in the front yard and pointed out toward there and said, in the name of Jesus, we command you not to come in here. And the weathermen said, it did a 90-degree turn and went in up there. And the other preacher said, well, why'd you send it? We didn't send it up there. We just told it it couldn't come in here. You got to take care of your own property. Now, we have had Rockets Over Rhema. Any of you ever been to Rockets Over Rhema? Well, Miss Lynette, she starts believing God. And they... They say it's going to rain. One time that we had one of the helicopters and they got it out. They said, oh, man, it's coming a bad storm. And the weatherman on the TV said, I don't understand it. He said, there's rain all the way around and there's a hole right over Broken Air and it's not raining at all. I think Sister Shirley was there when that happened. Was you there when it happened? Yeah. Several years ago when I guess... Well, Blake is 18 now, so that's when he would have been 10 or 12, somewhere in there. That's when one of those F5s hit over there, hit Moore, and then it came straight down I-44, headed straight at Tulsa. Well, we were out at the ballpark, me and Craig and Rich, who's been here, because Rich's son and Blake, Craig's middle boy, they're the same age. They play on the same baseball team. And we're out there at that Indian Springs baseball complex, and they got everybody, said, get home. There's a bad storm coming, tornado. Said it's an F5. It's already hit more and tore it all to pieces. And that's before this other one. I think three of them's hitting more now, I believe it is. I remember two of them. I think I heard them say there was three of them that hit. But anyway, and the weatherman, because we started praying, man. All the rainbow people started praying. You might have been over there then, Mike. I don't know. And the weatherman said he didn't understand it, but the storm got right to the edge of Tulsa. It split, went around Tulsa, and came back together and kept going. And I forget how many tornadoes was spawned out of that thing. It was a bunch, but it didn't hit Tulsa. The weatherman said, you know, well, hey, some people don't believe you can do it, but if you believe God and stand and really stand your ground and believe... Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to realize that your word works if we'll simply believe it and confess it. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. Amen. Bow your heads just a moment, please. I never like to have a sermon that I preach and I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or somebody to rededicate their life to God or for somebody that's been going to church all their life but don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not. Do you realize that we got people that go to church when they're a kid with their parents and they just continue to go to church? And we had a fella came up one time and he said, you know, and it's been a few years back now, four or five years back, and said, you know, I've been going to church all my life, but I don't know whether I've ever accepted Christ or not. He said, I went when I was a kid, and I just been going. So if somebody's here like that, I want to pray with you and for you. If you're here and you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, they all received the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. I'm not talking about church, creed, or doctrine. I'm talking about what the Bible says. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand now. We'll pray for you. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody stand, don't see no hand. Anybody here want to be prayed for healing tonight? We got anybody want to be hands laid on you for healing? Hallelujah. Oh, here comes somebody. All right. If you want hands laid on you for healing, come on right now and stand right over here. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just come stand right over there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come right here. Stand right here. For you are the young one. Well, that's what I thought. Praise the Lord. Reach your hands out towards me, pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. The healing power of God flowing into this body to effect a healing and a cure. I thank you for healing power flowing. Healing power flows into this body right now. Effect a healing and a cure. Healing flows into this body right now. According to the word of God, be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have a cloth here. We need to pray over. Acts 19, 11 and 12 says that they took handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul when they laid on the sick and afflicted. The disease departed from them. If they were evil spirits, they left in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So reach hands out. I pray, Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. We lay our hands on this cloth knowing that that same healing power that flowed out of Jesus when the woman touched his clothes. And I thank you now that that same healing power is flowing in this cloth. And when it's taken to that sick one, that same healing power will flow out, drive out sickness and disease and restoration and healing in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen. Everybody put your hands up and thank God for healing power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Well, praise the Lord. Trust you got something out of this tonight. Amen. I'm going that door. Miss Lynette's going the other door. We'll shake hands with you as we go out. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed.